for to have a meeting here tonight. Yeah, praise God. And so obviously this is different than a worship service, and a good turnout. Really appreciate, you know, you all coming out and taking some extra time out of your week to have this meeting. My goal is that we, you know, aren't here longer than an hour. That's my goal. And I know some of you, not quite confident in that, but when it comes to these things, I want to be very considerate of your time. Really appreciate it. What we are here to talk about tonight is a very serious thing. You know, serving in the house of God, and of course I look out and, you know, and that's you folks, and you're making things happen, you know, around here. You're faithful and you're serving, and praise God. Every bit of fruit that divine fruit that is had here at Family Church, you have a part in that, and that fruit is abounding to your account. So praise God. Let's go ahead and pray as we get started. Father God, we just love you. We praise you and glorify you. Father, I thank you so much for all these faithful helpers that are in this church. Father, we thank you that we have so many that are willing to serve in the house of God and to do so with excellence and integrity. And Father God, we just thank you for your wisdom here tonight. We thank you, Father, for those that couldn't be with us due to work schedules, traveling dates, and things like that. Father, we thank you for them, even though they could not be here, but they serve so faithfully. And we just give you all the praise and glory. Father, we thank you that we will serve in the house of God with excellence. Father, we understand that we represent you. Lord, we thank you that serving is your nature. And Father, we want to live like you, and we just give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to turn in my Bible to Luke chapter 22. I understand that maybe some of you weren't prepared to bring your Bible, but that's why we have the screen for you. And I just want to real quickly, before we get into, you know, some specifics about serving here at Family Church, I want to look in the scriptures and talk about why serving is so significant. It is a principle in the Word of God. It's so important to our lives. Amen. You know, that we don't just spend our whole life as Christians, you know, sitting on the sidelines and not doing anything for God. You know, we want to bring fruit with us to heaven. Amen. We want to be fruitful. We want to show God that we have a revelation of the local church. Amen. Glory to God. And of course, and to fulfill the great commandment, and that's to love one another, you know, and that's what we're here to do as we serve in the church. We're here to love one another. Praise God. So I'm going to go over there to Luke chapter 22. I want to start in verse 24. I'm going to probably have Alicia and Joe up there. They're running our audio video booth, like always, with such excellence, and I'm going to have them probably go to both the King James and the Amplified. But in verse 24, we're going to start. Luke 22:24, and it says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Of course, this is the disciples of Jesus, and they were having a little debate among them, who's going to be the greatest, you know, because they knew their calling was special. You know, they knew and they understand that the offices that they were called to were unlike any other, and actually the Bible does distinguish them as the apostles of the Lamb. To serve next to Jesus during his earthly ministry was a very, very big thing. And of course, they got in their carnal minds, and they started getting, you know, a little full of pride and started to debate among, you know, themselves who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus, in verse 25, said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors." Can we bring this up in the Amplified? I think it just will make a little bit more sense to you. Verse 25 says, "But Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles are defied by them and exercise lordship, ruling as emperor gods over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors and well-doers." Giving us the idea, on this earth, we think that the greatest principle that is rewarded is leadership and political power, you know, and so much of that. I mean, we see that in our society today. You know, we should be very, very reluctant about people who seek power. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, you know. We should be very reluctant, not to get on a political talk here, but I can't help but just throw this in a little bit. You know, we should be a little reluctant about people who their whole lives have been groomed for political power since they were in the student council of their middle school. You know what I mean? And we have a lot of those running for the office of president, and we have a few that don't have that. I have a tendency to like the ones that don't have, that they have not been career politicians. But Jesus is saying, yeah, on this earth, you know, that political authority seems to be the principle that everybody's after, that's the most rewarded. But Jesus is saying, listen, maybe that's considered powerful on this earth, but I'm going to show you what heaven recognizes and understands. In verse 26, it says, but this is not to be so with you, meaning believers. He said, on the contrary, let him who is the greatest among you become like the youngest, and him who is the chief and leader like one who serves. See, you know, we think in our political system that, you know, the people that get elected, they're ahead, they're the chief. But what Jesus says, those that will be considered the greatest are those that serve in your midst. See, heaven does not reward leadership as much as it rewards servitude. Amen. In heaven, serving is the priority. Amen. We'll keep reading. Verse 27, he says, for who is the greater, the one who reclines at table, the master, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? He said, but I am in your midst as one who serves. Jesus was saying, I am the master. He said, I could come to this earth and completely justifiably demand to be served. He said, but I'm going to operate in the principle that means the most to heaven. I have come as a servant. Isn't that awesome? I mean, Jesus came as one who served. And of course, we remember when Jesus literally washed the feet of the disciples. And remember, Peter said, no, be it far from me, Master, that you would wash my feet. And Jesus said, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you can have no part with me. Because Jesus said, listen, I have come to serve. Yeah, amen. Boy, oh boy, how the church, maybe in America, maybe even across the world, the church has fallen into that trap where we put leadership, you know, where we think leadership principles. There's all these books coming out in churches, you know, the indispensable properties of leadership or qualities of leadership, and everyone wants to be a leader. Let's make a leader out of everybody. But Jesus himself did not come as a leader. He came as a follower or a servant. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I haven't seen too many books on the New York Times best-selling list about followership. I've seen lots about leadership. Everyone's a leader. No. Listen, even the best leaders are first good followers. In the Bible, you don't qualify for leadership until you are first a submissive follower. And there is not anybody who is in leadership that also isn't following somewhere else. You know what I mean by that? In leadership, whether it's in the church. I'm not just a leader in the church. I am also a follower. I am first and foremost a follower. And you wouldn't want to be submitted to a local church where the pastor isn't submissive somewhere else, if he doesn't have accountability or authority over him. You know, a lot of rogue players out there. A lot of rogue players, and they themselves, they're not submitted to anybody. Then they're lone rangers. We don't need any lone rangers. I'm not a lone ranger, and I'm sure not going to teach that mentality. I'm going to teach what Jesus is. He is the servant. He came, right, as one who serves. Praise the Lord. And so notice that is his nature. Serving is the nature of Christ. You could say it this way. It is the grace of God is first to serve. And that's where sometimes even the faith movement gets off, because we start to think that these principles and these scriptures and faith is just there to serve ourselves. You know what I mean? Faith is not just what we use to receive what we need. Faith is what we use to bless our brothers and sisters in our local church. You know, Father God, bless me, bless my wife, bless my kids and my home and my dog and everybody else. You know, everything just real close in my life. You know, I'll tell you what, E.W. Kenyon, he said something I read in one of his books, I will never forget it as long as I live. He said this, he said, once I learned who I was in Christ, I never prayed for myself ever again. He said, if I needed something by faith, I just took it. He said, but I spent my time praying for others. See, that's revelation. But let's face it, the majority of Christians today, we spend most of our time praying for ourselves. But the nature of Christ, I mean, you start to look in the Gospels, you will see, you know, name one thing that he ever did for himself. Very little. Very little did he do for himself. Praise the Lord. All right. And so, notice Jesus says that the greatest are those that serve. You know, the word greatest here is also the word for eldership. Eldership. The greatest, the term greatest here, literally in the Greek, means one who is an elder or one who is spiritually mature. And so serving, you know, sometimes we would think, oh, those that become spiritually mature, they get served. No, those that are spiritually mature, they will serve. Yeah. And so it's a mark of spiritual maturity to love to serve, because that is what Jesus did. Amen. Go with me, you can, if you have your Bibles, or if you just want to look up here, Hebrews chapter 6. Just want to put a couple things together here. Hebrews chapter 6. Listen, I want to encourage you, because there's so many of you here tonight that you are already serving. You have been faithful in serving. I mean, I just look out at you, and my goodness, it's just such a blessing. But I want to tell you that, you know, when you serve in the local church, you're not just serving, you know, under a pastor or under department leaders. You are serving the Lord. You're serving that which is the most important to him, his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says here, over here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 in the King James, it says this, I believe Paul is the author of Hebrews. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Praise God. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So notice this, that what you're doing is an eternal effort. It is an eternal effort. You say, oh, you know, I mean, when you're in that nursery, ladies, and you are dealing with kids who might be crying, and, you know, Pastor Tim's preaching well beyond what you marked on the clock, and you saw that minute hand, and you knew when it starts getting in this area, you can start to feel relieved, and then all of a sudden, you know, hands are being laid on people, and the service is extended. Come on. You know, I know you go through that, and, you know, you're serving, you know, with long suffering in that nursery. Praise God. And what that is that is an eternal effort. That is eternally remembered by God. You know, you're out there, maybe you're one of the guys that are out helping park cars and things like that, and you're serving and you're greeting those people, and it just doesn't seem like a huge thing to do for God, but it's an eternal effort. You're serving the people of God. You're serving the excellence of the local church. Amen. Or the worship team, or the ushers, or the AV, or the reception, or the cleaning crew, or hospitality team, and children's ministries, youth groups, and all these things that you do. Praise the Lord. God is not unrighteous to forget about it one bit. Amen. And notice it's a labor of love. Or you could say it this way, you love to labor for God. That is what we're looking for, to love to labor for God. Folks, can I just talk real plainly? Listen, when I got saved at 23 years old and I fully committed my life to Christ, at that moment, it just seemed, I don't know how to describe it, but it just didn't seem possible to continue in a life with Christ and not serve and be available to do whatever was needed of me. You know? I mean, it was almost from the very beginning. It was just, I went to, you know, the pastor. It wasn't Pastor Michael Aketic. Katie and I were in a church previously. You know, we committed our lives to the Lord. And I mean, once we showed up and we attended a few weeks, you know, we started asking, what can we do? Where can we serve? I mean, you know, what can we do? And they had a program there with the kids, and and they knew that we both had our teaching degrees and things like that, and they said, well, man, can you come down, you know, show up on, I forget what night of the week it was, I think it was Tuesday night, can you show up with this kids program and pour the kids Kool-Aid? Sure, sign me up. You know, pouring kids Kool-Aid. I wasn't even trusted to help them learn scripture or anything. You know, I mean, that's what they asked me to do. Will you show up and feed these kids snacks, you know? And then after a little while, they figured out that I could play the guitar, and then they said, oh, can you play some, and these were little, younger kids, and they said, oh, can you play some, you know, songs on your guitar for the kids? I'm like, I guess so. You know, in my mind, that's what it sounded like. On the outside, it was, sure, praise God, whatever I can do. I don't understand having the life of God on the inside and not having a desire to serve. Now, of course, I understand that there's going to be people with different callings and different giftings and so on, and maybe your level of service won't always look like somebody else's. That's fine. But listen, the nature of Christ is to serve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God does not forget it, and it's a labor of love. And we should love it. Doesn't mean it always feel good, but we should love doing it. Amen. It says, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's what you're doing when you're showing up and serving in those capacities. You are ministering towards the people of God, and God will not forget those that help take care of his people. Listen, you know, it might start with the pastor, but believe me, you know, the pastoral office can do nothing without the helps ministries. Nothing, you know. And the pastor isn't the only one around here who has the opportunity to serve God's people. We all did and do. And, you know, I look back on it. I mean, there was never, I mean, I started from an early time in my walk with Christ. I started to distinguish and discern what I was called to do. It was July 31st of 2003 when the Lord spoke to me and told me that I would have a pulpit ministry. And of course, I got all geared up for that. But there was no thought in my mind about, oh, what can I go do for the church so I can get promoted to be something else? You know, the church is not a stepping stone into a visible ministry so you can be somebody. Nor is it something that we do hoping to someday get paid for it. Oh my goodness, how that is going around. I told you the story recently about a gentleman that was telling me about his nephew and saying, you know, my nephew, he's this really prominent, you know, worship leader, and he said he wants to work for a church and make $120,000 a year. And this guy asked, he's like, Pastor Tim, is that feasible? And I just smiled real big, and I just said, well, you know, if he's not called to it, and if he just wants the money, even if he got paid that much, and even if he got paid double, but he's just doing something for the money, it'll crush him. It'll crush him. You don't want to do something you're not called to do, or you don't want to ever do something for the Lord for money. You know? And so I served for many years with a thought of, you know, making a paycheck. And I'll be honest, when I finally was, you know, full-time, and I remember getting my first paycheck from the church, it almost felt dirty to me. I don't know how to explain it. I was just like, I remember Pastor Michael coming up and he was all proud. He's like, look what I got for you. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, this is your first paycheck. And I just didn't know what to do. It felt dirty. That's the only way I can describe it. It's not dirty. You know what I mean? It's completely right. You know, I was full-time minister. I had resigned my teaching job and all that. And, you know, he gave me that paycheck. And folks, what I'm about to say is not to make me look good or whatever. He gave me that first paycheck, and because I was so almost nervous to look at it or to receive it, I gave the whole thing away. I literally gave it. Right. He gave it to me. I opened it. I was like, oh my gosh, this feels wrong. And I literally signed that check over to somebody else. I just gave it away. I wasn't doing that because of the giver in me as much as I was just so intimidated to receive something from the church. You know what I mean? Now, and so I make that point to say this, is that it should never be our goal to get paid in the ministry. When Pastor Michael, when he offered, when he approached me about pastoring this church, I mean, I mean, it was already agreed upon. I never asked, well, what would I be getting paid? You know, just that wasn't a thought. And then when he told me, I was like, oh, well, praise the Lord. You know, I didn't know how to respond because it was about half of what I was making as a school teacher, you know. And so it's not about money. Do we understand that? I'm not telling that story to say, oh my goodness, look at Pastor Tim. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that mentality of trying to use the church as a stepping stone to become a professional minister, that is a bunch of garbage and it doesn't belong in God's house. Now, are there those that can be called into full-time ministry? And the Bible says that, you know, he that preaches the gospel should live off the gospel, meaning that they should be paid. But that is not our goal. You understand that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So don't think you're getting any money here. That isn't really the point I was trying to make. I'm dealing with the mentality that's out there that people are trying, you know, and they almost talk as if, yeah, I want to get into ministry because it's easy money. Yeah. You know, someone like that, give them a couple years, they'll be out. They'll be crushed by it. They'll be crushed by it because they got the wrong motive. Well, praise the Lord. But I'm here to encourage you. God will not forget what you've done for him. And listen, as you continue to serve in God's local church, you are building eternal fruit that will serve as a monument to, you know, to your life, you know, before the Lord. Remember over there in Acts chapter 10? Oh man, I just gotta go there. I wasn't planning on it. Go with me. Go to Acts chapter 10. You're thinking, oh, there goes that hour. You wait and see. Go to Acts chapter 10. We gotta look at this. You say, what do you mean a monument will be made for you before the Lord? Well, it happened to a man in the Bible. Go there to Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, that is a regiment in the army of the Romans. It was not a music band. He was a captain of 100 soldiers. That's what a centurion is. Now it says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. And so we're told two things about Cornelius. He was a giver and he was a prayer. Doesn't that sound like serving God? And notice he wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman soldier. Glory to God. And it says, and he saw in a vision evidently about the 9th hour of the day, that's 3 p.m. to you and me. And he says, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on the angel, upon the angel, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. The word memorial in the Greek means a monument or a statue. That his giving and his praying, God, it said literally a some kind of honor was built for Cornelius in heaven. That's something. That's something. Why? Because God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love that you minister towards his people. See, that's why we don't take serving, we don't take giving, we don't take praying, we don't take these things casually because they are an eternal effort. Just think, there's going to be a remembrance made for you in heaven, how you have served the Lord. And you don't just step in and step out of it casually, because it is an eternal thing. Isn't that amazing? Well, praise the Lord. All right, so I'm going to go to 1 John. You knew you were going to get some word here tonight, right? I mean, I'm not going to stand in the pulpit and not deliver some scripture. Go to 1 John, and now kind of giving us a blessing here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, one of my favorite verses in 1 John. Praise the Lord. And now this talks about the blessing when we serve our brethren. Now remember, Hebrews 6:10 said that it's a labor of love towards the brethren or towards fellow believers. And now in 1 John 2:10, it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Wow. That's a pretty powerful promise, don't you think? Yeah. You could, that word love, you could just go ahead and replace it with the word serve. Right? He that serves his brother. Because isn't that the definition? Over there in Hebrews 6:10, he called it loving, a labor of love towards the saints or towards the brethren. He that serves his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. So if we serve God, we're loving the brethren, and if we love the brethren, we're abiding in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling. Notice how serving isn't just an act of love, but it also helps keep us safe. It helps keep us safe. Praise the Lord. Because why? You stay in the light. I've noticed this. So many times when people start to backslide away from the Lord, they stop wanting to serve anymore. Because when your heart is close and in fellowship with the Lord, and you're in the light, you're going to want to serve the brethren. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. So if you want to abide in the light and have none occasion of stumbling, now that doesn't mean you won't be tested, but it just means you won't stumble and fall. Glory to God. I'm sure glad. You know, when I look back over these last 13 or 14 years and I see all the times when I was protected, whether physically, financially, you know, with children or in our marriage or in our home or whatever it is, just the grace of God that surrounded us in these times. Praise the Lord. Abide in the light. You know, kind of getting back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, I haven't been, you know, full-time ministry for a ton of time, but I've just about completed 10 full years now. And I will say this, I still feel like I'm serving in the local church. I am not here because this is my job. I never think that way. You know, and people say, well, Pastor, you know, you're not in the ministry of helps anymore, so you don't know. Yes, I am. Listen, I have a pastor. And me being, you know, doing my best as a pastor of this church helps Pastor Michael, because this church is part of the vision God gave him. Amen. I look at what I do as something I do for my pastor as well, and it's like the ministry of helps for me. And when I'm with my pastor, I'm not a pastor myself. I'm an usher. When I'm with my pastor, I am an usher. You know what I mean? I take care of him. Praise the Lord. Because we serve. And listen, you know, if Jesus, you know, didn't outgrow serving, I'm pretty sure I never will outgrow it. You will never outgrow it. Jesus didn't say he showed up to be served. He said, you know, the master is the one that gets served. He said, I could be being served, but I have decided to do that which heaven responds to and admires the most. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's talk about real quickly how we serve. And this is real simple. I'm going to go to Matthew 6:21. So the first thing we talked about is the significance of serving. You love the brethren. You abide in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling. Cornelius had a memorial made for him before God. My goodness. Praise the Lord. You know, and he had a memorial. He had a statue. Some people, they're going to get a little cheap trophy. You know, remember those consolation trophies you got in Little League when you were the team that didn't get first, second, third, but you were just last, and they were giving out trophies to all the other teams, but they felt they had to give even the losers a trophy. And you got that little thing with that little baseball guy who was like 2 inches tall. They all got these nice trophies, but they just got this little thing. I sure don't want to show up and say, all right, where's my monument? All right, let's say, monument? You're going to get like a pin or something, a pendant, a medal. I don't want that to happen. Where did I tell you? Matthew. Is it all right if we laugh here tonight? Say, well, Pastor, I didn't know we were getting a sermon. Well, yeah, we're here to put excellence in you. Because it's necessary for a church and a group of helpers and leaders to meet on a regular basis, because we don't ever want these things to get casual. You know what I mean? We don't want to get slack and, you know, start dragging our feet in these things, because they're very important. Matthew 6:21, Jesus speaking. You've heard me quote this scripture a lot. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And of course, we also, you know, we talk about this in terms of money and giving. You know, wherever you put your money, that's where your heart is. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and there's a lot of people you can tell that their treasure is not the house of God because they don't put their money there. Ooh, ouch. Ooh, ew. Just that would have been a good place to say amen. We would never know you're guilty. You can just praise the Lord. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, how about this? You know, obviously we value what we give money towards, obviously. Our money is a reflection of what we value. But isn't also our serving a reflection of what we value? Listen, if the local church is our treasure, if our treasure is the things of God, we'll serve in it. And honestly, that is what every church, that's what family church needs, is people that look at serving in the house of God as their treasure. Amen? That it's a treasure to serve. You know, and that's what I want to talk about secondly here, is how we serve, that we put high value on serving. You know, on this earth, the greatest treasure is the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that really, you know, can have a way of ticking some people off. Probably not you guys, because you're also faithful and, you know, you've been taught the word. But I mean, in God's heart, and I'm not saying this because this is what pastors are supposed to say, but as we study the scripture and we fellowship with God, you know, people wonder about what is the vessel that God has chosen to change this earth. It is the local church. It is the local church. It is that which is the most valuable to Him, is you being set in the body as it pleases Him and you putting a high value on that. So let's talk about how we serve. Not just that we're serving, but that we also have to do it correctly. Well, when something is your treasure, you place high value on it, and it shows through your actions, right? If you don't value it, then it will hurt your life. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. When you serve in a department here at this church, or this would go for any church, okay? When we serve, the traditional way, you know, growing up, maybe in the churches that I attended, maybe as a kid, also the church I was connected with before, family church, and this isn't to be critical or anything, but there was always this mentality like, you know, those that volunteered to serve, they were doing the church a favor. Okay? And I know I'm just going to speak very plainly. And often, you know, we get this idea, oh, I'm doing the church a favor. I'm doing God a favor. No, that's backwards. Listen, we need the opportunity to serve more than the local church needs us to serve. Now, the local church needs us, because if none of us do anything, then it's not going to work, right? But so many times we act like, well, it's real easy to have this mentality like we're doing God a favor. We're not. What an opportunity we have that we can serve, you know. We need it more than it needs us. You understand that? And that's the mentality that we need to have. Folks, I'm just going to be real plain here. At Family Church, we believe in a high value system when it comes to serving in any ministry. I don't care if you are vacuuming the floor, or if we're washing the windows, or we're working all the way up to preaching in the pulpit, or on the worship team, or in the children's ministry, a youth group, the ushers, you know, running the overhead, no matter what you're doing, if you're parking cars, if you're ushering, all these things, if you're cooking meals, and no matter what you are doing, we have to put a high value on it. And here at the church, if folks start to demonstrate that it's not valuable to them, then we ask them not to serve anymore. Ooh, ouch. And that is what has gotten some people really ticked at us. I've had people get downright just mad at me, and it's not personal, okay? But if we are always showing up late, I mean, come on now, here we go. Woo-hoo. Oh, man, I didn't know I was coming to the spanking session. Come on, this applies to me, this applies to you. None of us are exempt, right? Amen. But if we start to demonstrate that it's not valuable to us, then we can't do it. And here's the reason why. Because the scripture teaches us to serve in the house of God, but to do it without honor is dangerous for that person. And so as the pastor, it is my role to protect people from getting hurt. And so I don't remove them out of ministry to insult them or to criticize them. I ask them to step down or step back because I know if they continue to serve in that dishonorable fashion, it'll hurt their life. And so I have to have them step out until they can grow spiritually a little bit more, until they're ready to step back in. And so really, it is my role as a pastor to protect people from serving. I mean, you can look back in the Old Testament. My goodness, you remember the man Uzzah there who stuck out his hand. You know, he mishandled the power of God, and it zapped him dead. You can go to Acts chapter 5 and Ananias and Sapphira, how they conducted themselves in the local church cost them their life. People say, oh, that's extreme. We're in the 21st century now. Listen, the scripture didn't expire. You know what I mean? And so we have a responsibility to value it highly. And I have a responsibility that if people just demonstrate that they're not going to put a high value on it, then I have to very kindly and lovingly, the best that we know how, or the department leaders have to say, you know, listen, you know, maybe you should just take some time off or whatever, because I don't want it to hurt you. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, I mean, folks, I can't tell you how many people that we've had come through here, and they'll be in, you know, maybe a meeting like this, and they'll get inspired to serve, and they'll sign up, and, you know, a first couple of months, they'll be faithful, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, they're 10 minutes late every time, 15 minutes late, not showing up, missing their assignment, week after week after week, or time after time, and it starts to develop a pattern. Folks, we understand that things come up. You know, we understand that there are extenuating circumstances and maybe you couldn't be there that one time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an established pattern where all of a sudden, you know, that person just demonstrates that they're not going to be excellent. You know, and for their protection, I might have to ask the department leader to have them step down. Folks, we need to serve with excellence. Amen. We need to be on time. I mean, it's so easy to do. In concept, I mean, this is all we need to do for God. And this isn't anything new because most likely people do this for their employer. Yeah. You know, they show up on time. They're early, you know, to their employer. They're early to their doctor's appointments. They're there at their dentist appointments. They're at all these things. They're on time and they're prepared. But yet then church becomes the thing that they can show up after the first worship song. Or they can, be 15 minutes late every time to their nursery assignment or to their ushering assignment or whatever. Listen, if we honor our employer with our excellence and with our promptness and our preparedness, how much more the house of God? Amen. This is where we should demonstrate the highest level of integrity. I know this is very unpopular in churches nowadays. You know, like the forbidden word is commitment and responsibility. But I tell you what, this is about the Lord. You know, it says over there in Mark 7:37, the verse, not the airplane. Praise the Lord, it's been a little while since I got to use that one. But it says of Jesus, it says he did all things well. You know, the Amplified says he did everything with complete excellence. Amen. Glory to God, you know. And so how do we serve? We put a high value on it. How do we value it? With our actions. Real simple. Like I said, we're on time. We're prepared, right? We have a good attitude. And let me tell you the attitude that, you know, the house of the Lord is looking for. It's a submissive attitude. Listen, all of us are in somebody's life to make, you know, all of us are given an assignment to make somebody else look good. I'm just going to say it real plainly. And in those cases, it could be your department leader. You know, my job in my life, you know, I want Pastor Michael to look good. I do. I want to serve. You know, I want to be excellent because I want that honor to be bestowed upon somebody else. Amen. So, you know, that even applies to our department, you know, your department leaders, no matter what department it is, you know, we show up, we have a good attitude, we follow the instructions of those department leaders. And folks, let me just say something else. You know, we've seen this over the years here. It comes up every once in a while where there'll be people that will serve in ministry. They'll be very sweet to me. You know, oh, pastor. And yet they have it out with their department leaders all the time. Let me tell you something. The department leaders in this church represent me. You know what I mean? You can't be sweet to one and then negative to the other, okay? The staff here, you know, they're an extension of the pastor. You know, how we treat the staff, how we treat other volunteers is how we treat the pastor. And more importantly, it's how we treat the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And so it's really simple, right? We're on time. We're prepared. We're submissive. We want to make our department look good. We want to follow the instructions of the department leader. We're on time. Listen, I mean, my goodness, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I mean, at very most, you're looking at a couple of hours, you know, of service to the Lord. I mean, make that short amount of time, give it your all. Amen? And folks, and I'm not saying these things because there's some overwhelming problem like this at Family Church. There's really not. I mean, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. You know, we have guest ministers come to our church and they'll say all the time, you know, your ministry of helps is just the best we've seen. Amen. But there's always room for improvement, right? Amen. And this is why we have such a high level of excellence, because we're constantly being reminded of these things. This is for God. This is an eternal effort. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Third, and we're doing good on time. You don't think we are, but we are. Let me talk about the general requirements to serve now here at Family Church. Maybe we have some people that you currently aren't serving, but you would like to in the church. Let me just give you some simple requirements that we have here, because we believe they're based on Scripture and they're based on integrity. All right, real simple. Number one, you must have attended here for at least 6 months. Okay, and there are some exceptions even to that rule, namely the worship team. Because worship team is a very visible ministry, we typically, someone will attend longer than that 6 months, because if they're going to be seen, if they're going to be singing, we have a wonderful worship team. Everyone that serves on our worship team, they are not there because they are the world's greatest singer. Though we do have very gifted singers, praise God, but they're there because of their heart and their character, first and foremost. And how many of you know that the worship ministry, the praise team, throughout recent church history, if there's one place in a church that can lend itself to pride and a lack of submission, it's the praise and worship team. And we haven't had that problem in this church, and we won't have that problem in this church, because we have submissive leadership and truly spiritual people in there. But that's why we require a longer, you know, typically, you know, people that serve on our praise and worship team, they didn't just step into praise and worship team. Typically, they have spent time serving in children's departments. You know, they have spent serving in the church, you know, other places for a good while, so we can really test their character. Amen. Praise the Lord. But generally speaking, you must have attended here for 6 months, all right? If you end up working with children at Family Church, you may have to submit to a background check, folks. And, you know, we require complete honesty about things in the past. Of course, we know that, you know, if you're born again, your past is destroyed. But if someone has a weakness, let's just say it this way. We are very, very careful about who we put around our children, all right? This idea that people walk into churches and 3 weeks later, you know, they start serving in the children's department or something, that does not happen here. That does not happen here. I'm a former school teacher. I'm, of course, a dad myself. And anyways, children are, they get the utmost protection here at Family Church. Listen, these folks that are serving in our nursery, our youth groups, our children's ministries, our Sunday schools, listen, it's because they are of the utmost trustworthy character. We don't put just anybody around the kids. And so you might be a little bit more scrutinized if you desire to work with kids. And all the parents said, amen, glory to God. Because you know that this is a place that's safe, and your kids will not be put at risk by some stranger. Oh, we need help. Whoa, throw so-and-so in there. They started coming to church 2 weeks ago. Put them in the nursery. We don't do that. You know, we would just rather have the children right here in service with us. That's how it's been done for 2,000 years. You know, the whole idea of children's church and all that, that didn't even enter the church until like the 70s and 80s. I mean, that the idea of children's church and kids not being in the main service historically is really, that is a modern trend in church history. I mean, you don't see that. You don't see that. That's why you notice around here, our ages for children's ministries are very young. By the time they're 7 years old, they are in the service. And I tell you what, I've debated in my, you know, in my mind even about lowering that age, because it is wonderful for kids to sit in the corporate anointing. It'll bless their life. Amen. I know that is a very, very unpopular thing. I cannot tell you how many people have approached me and said, Pastor, we love this church, but my goodness, you have the kids in the service so young. My 7-year-old or my 8-year-old can't handle sitting in service. I said, yes, they can. It'll bless them. You don't want your kid to grow up thinking that church is just some entertainment romper room, you know, until they're 18 years old, and then all of a sudden it's time to be a grown-up, and they don't know how. Listen, there has been studies on this done. And I've mentioned it. I'm going to mention it again. They did a study on kids who were raised in a church that had children's programs that kept them out of the main service until they were teenagers. 85% of them did not return or keep attending that church once they were out of the children or the teenage ministries. Praise the Lord, glory to God. And why is that? Well, Jesus says that without a pastor, they're scattered and faint. Well, these kids sat under, no doubt, probably good leaders and well-intentioned people for all those times, but they spent their whole life not hearing from their pastor. And the biggest mistake we make is thinking that a child's spirit can't grow under the anointing of a pastor. Yes, they can. And listen, we got to be careful, because they'll outgrow you. You've seen kids? Oh, I see it with my boys. I mean, man. And Jesus, he said, we read the scripture tonight in Luke 22. He said, you have to be like the youngest of one of these. He said, and also over there in Matthew, they ask him, hey, who's the greatest in heaven? Jesus grabs a child. He says, make yourself like one of these. So why would we take our examples out of the service? Yeah, right? That's what the world is doing, at least here in America. Oh, kids can't sit in church. Cast them off. Let them go be entertained over there until they're 16 or 18. Yeah, and the whole time they're going to be scattered and faint. We've seen it. You've seen it in America. It's happening right before our very eyes. Okay? And so we might have to submit to a background check if we work with children. Also, again, I don't know if you are, if you aren't, but if we're going to be serving the local church, we should be a tither. We should be a tither. Again, I personally do not go and look and try to figure out who's tithing and who's not. I don't know. I mean, from a pastoral standpoint, I can see it on people's lives. There is a noticeable difference between tithers and non-tithers just in their spiritual hunger and everything else. But in terms of me going and looking up the records and trying to figure out what your income is, I don't do that. I've never done that, and I'm not going to do that. Just not what I'm about, or, you know, I'm just not interested in doing that. But I tell you what, if we're going to be helpers and leaders in the church, we're going to be examples, we should at least, you know, do what Jesus said over there, right, in Luke chapter 16, and be faithful with that which is least, which he said is money. If he's going to entrust us to watch kids and to serve in the local house of God, we could at least be faithful in that which he calls least. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's another thing. Now, again, this is more of a should do as opposed to must do. But we should seek church membership the next time it is offered. And we only do that here maybe like once a year, if even that at times. Last time we had a church membership, we just had a church membership class right in our main Sunday service and invited people to join the church. And we had quite a few people respond. Maybe some of you are here tonight that were part of that. And so that's more of a should do instead of a must do. But seek church membership because it is important. All right? How about this? Excellence in appearance. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay? And now, if you serve in a department in the church, of course, you don't have to put on a three-piece suit every time. That sure isn't going to work in some of the children's ministries and all that stuff. But, I mean, we should at least be presentable. We haven't had too many problems with that here. But every once in a while, you know, we'll have somebody that maybe might join the usher crew or something. And we have a certain dress code for our ushers. And they'll just, you know, cast that aside and say it doesn't matter. Well, listen, it does matter. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, I know there's a huge sweeping movement in America today that just, you know, preachers wearing jeans in the pulpit and... I mean, all this dishonorable stuff wearing... But no, I'm talking about praise and worship services. I'm talking about, you know, as a standard in the church where there is this real casual... Actually, this would probably be dressed up. This would be dressed up in a lot of places now. But there's been this move to make church more relevant. Well, no, I mean, as we study the scripture, God still... Now, of course, is there a dress code here at Family Church? No. But as we grow and as we know the Lord, what happened to bringing God our best? Remember, even this country got it for a while. There used to be a term in this country called our Sunday best, you know? And I don't know why that went away, except that, you know, the church is trying to use the world's method to attract new people. But we should at least be excellent. We should be clean. You don't have to wear a suit and tie necessarily, but just, you know what I mean? If you're going to serve, you're going to show up. I noticed this when I was a school teacher. I mean, my goodness, when I grew up as a kid, I mean, men had ties, you know, women dressed nice and stuff. And by the time I was a school teacher, I'd wear a tie every day. I'd wear, you know, dress pants and a button down the front shirt and stuff like that. And I mean, people thought I was nuts, because all the teachers are in jeans and sweatshirts, and you couldn't tell the difference between the teachers and the high school students. They'd ask me about it. I said, well, I just think we're supposed to set an example, you know, call them up to something higher and not degrade or diminish the value or, you know, the role of a teacher. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, let's real quickly. We're right on time. I know you think there's only 6 minutes left, but that's all I'm going to need. Let's talk about real quickly the opportunities to serve here, the different departments, and maybe even some of the different requirements for each. Many of you are already serving in a department. Of course, you don't need to go look for another one. You don't need to, you know, stretch yourself too thin by any means. But for those of you that are seeking to serve, here are the departments. Here are those that lead these departments in our church. You can seek them out. Also, we do have sign-up sheets here tonight. If you don't serve in a department, maybe pick one or two departments that just seem to interest you. They're out there in our narthex. Go ahead and jot your name under one or two departments if you're interested in serving. You know, put your phone number on there, and then we know that you're interested in serving in those departments, and then when there's a need, we can call on you. Praise the Lord, and talk to you, and meet with you, and so on, okay? First off, worship team. As you know, Reverend Tony Jones leads our worship team. Like I said, there's a little bit of different requirement, a little bit more that goes into serving on worship team. And yes, you do have to be able to sing or have talent. Folks, can we, I mean, I don't want to, yeah. You know, I don't want to take this lightly, but I mean, we just talk real plain here. I cannot tell you how many times over the years people have just, you know, I'm here to be on worship team. I'm here to be on worship team. Oh, okay, well, first of all, you got to attend for 6 months, and then you got to serve somewhere else in the church, and how about we put you on cleaning team first? Oh, no, I don't clean. You know, I don't clean. I'm an excellent singer. I'm a musician or whatever. Well, if you're not willing to serve in that which is least, you know, then you don't qualify to be in a visible ministry. Okay, also there's people that really have the heart, they have the character, but let's just face it, they don't got the talent. Folks, just real simply, I don't know how to say this, this is going to sound mean, no matter how much I try to sweeten it up, But if you don't got it, you don't got it. And we aren't going to be tossing out freebies when it comes to the worship team. I mean, Reverend Randy, yeah. I'm kidding. I looked at you right when I said that, and then, of course, I got inspired with a wisecrack. No, but seriously, and of course, you know, the good thing is, and it takes the pressure off me, is I don't make that decision. We have Reverend Tony, who is a professional voice instructor, and he knows if you got it or if you don't. And if he says, Pastor Tim, so-and-so, they ain't got it, I said, then they ain't got it. And listen, I know what it's like to not have it. I don't got it either. You know, I was just the only thing here at the time. And so I was willing to do it. And I did that for 3 years, you know. And God had mercy on us all. And he sent Reverend Tony and delivered us. Of course, even before that, with Reverend Randy and everyone else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's kind of some things there. And of course, Reverend Tony, he will seek you out. If you do put your name on there, he's going to bring you in. He's going to put you, he's going to sit at the piano. He's going to say, sing this note. He's going to make you sing songs. He's going to put you through the ringer. You don't just come in and say, oh, I'm a good singer. I sing to the radio in my car all the time. Listen, you always sound better. And it's really that musician in the radio that's making you sound good. Go ahead, start singing a song and then hit the power button and keep singing and you'll realize just how not good of a singer you are. But if you are talented and you're anointed and you're faithful and you have the right character, the Reverend Tony will know that, all right? And I have handed that over to him. He just simply reports, and I believe me, he's the professional in that area, and I don't try to overstep him unless I am warned by the Holy Ghost or I am privy to certain knowledge why somebody would be disqualified. I would make the judgment call as far as character and integrity, but if you want to serve, you really have to have some musical talent. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's quickly move past that one. Ushers. We are always in need of more ushers. Typically, that is a role that we prefer men to serve in, but we do have women ushers, and so we're not against that. Again, it's not a sexist thing. You know, it's not because we don't think women can do just as good a job as men. Believe me, you know, if you've been around here, I believe that women do most things better than men. Amen. So, all right. So just so you know. And all the ladies said, amen, praise the Lord. All right, ushers, you know, we always could use some more ushers. Also, we have the audio. The ushers are, by the way, led by Pastor Brad. If you are interested, put your name number on there. He would be the one that would contact you. You could also talk to him after service. He could not be here tonight because of his job, but after like a Wednesday or a Sunday, you could talk to him briefly. Also, the audio video team, led by Joe and Alicia Evans. They're, of course, serving right now, so we can have our overhead and everything. The audio video, of course, includes running lights, running the soundboard, running the video camera, the live stream, our overhead, and all that. If you are any sort of a techie person, that might be a department for you. All right, Joe and Alicia are the ones you'd want to talk to. Nursery, we always, let me emphasize, in the nursery, we always have a need for trusted women. For integrity's sake, women are exclusively those that will serve in the nursery, okay? Having men in there, first of all, would just be a bad idea. The nursery is not... Leroy, yeah. I hear you. Absolutely. And honestly, parents, we have just fabulous men of integrity here at Family Church. But, you know, let's face it. It needs a mother's touch, a woman's touch in there. A man is like, suck it up. You'll be fine. You know, I mean, my goodness, my boys, wham, you know, bang your head. You'll be fine. Just, you know, Michael smacked his head today at school. You know, got a came home with a nice big, you know, just a lump on his forehead. You're fine. That's a man. You're fine. Suck it up. Don't cry. Yeah. We need more men like that in our nation. And we're, you know, we do. We need some cowboys back a little bit, or a lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyway, women, if you are qualified again, you know, we would, you know, we would make sure that your integrity would fit the bill there. But ladies, we have great need in the nursery all the time. Again, you are serving Jesus. He will not forget the labor of love that you are doing in there. Glory to God. So if you could sign up for that, that would be wonderful. Also, we have, our nursery is led by my wife and also Stephanie Hofert. So they would be the two ladies that you would want to speak to regarding that. But again, before you talk to any of those department leaders, put your name and your number on the sign-ups back there. That would be the most helpful, okay? Our Kingdom Adventures and Little Adventures, our KA and LA, our children's ministries, again, we have a need for servants in those ministries. Danielle Misek leads our children's ministries here. Just we have an excellent, excellent group of people that help and serve there. Men, you are welcome to serve as helpers and leaders in our children's ministries. The kids are a little bit older, and you can handle that a little bit better. And so our KALA, praise the Lord, our LA is typically 2 and 3 year olds. KA is 4, 5, and 6. And you can, you know, it changes between Sunday and Wednesday, obviously. But if you could sign up for that, that would be wonderful. Our nursery and our children's departments typically are the ones that have the most need. And so ladies and men for Kingdom Adventures and Little Adventurers, if you could sign up, that would be wonderful. Also, our Sunday school. Our Sunday school is led by many teachers and helpers. We have really kind of two teams that alternate in our semesters. If you're a Sunday school teacher or helper, could you lift your hand? Do we have our Sunday school? Look around. I could name all of you. Just, you can put your hands down. Fantastic leaders and helpers in our Sunday school. Of course, we have the three children's classes, ages 3 and 4, and then we have ages 5 through 8 and 9 through 12. If, you know, men and women, if you're interested in helping for Sunday school, go ahead and sign up. Our hospitality team is led by Sarah Wilkins. And the hospitality team, you know, people ask, what is that? I'm over that hour now. Woo! Let's speed up. Hospitality team, basically, whenever, you know, there's just a scenario in the church and there's somebody that has gone through a hardship. It could be a hospital stay. It could be someone lost a loved one. We have people that serve that they will send cards. They will have, they will make homemade meals. They will deliver meals to these families. They might send flowers. They might visit in the hospital. I mean, they'll just do a whole wide range of things. And of course, Sarah and also, you know, Stephanie help, you know, coordinate those things when they become aware. You know, we become aware of those situations. We call our hospitality team into action. Also, if there's like a wedding reception or a dinner that would follow a funeral service or something, they help set up. And sometimes it is, I mean, every time there's one of those events like that, there is a lot of work that goes into it. And our hospitality team works very, very hard to do those things and do so with excellence. So that's out there to sign up for if you would like to. Also, our cleaning crew, led by Jim and Kathy Mitchell, do such an awesome job. Listen, you know, what a service it is that we come in here and the place is always spotless clean for every service. The bathrooms are clean and everything. And that's because we have faithful helpers, always could use more help in the cleaning crew. Again, they will put you on a schedule, you know, and you can talk to them. Maybe you can sign up and you can, you know, find out how much time would be involved and what level of commitment it would be. And you can talk to Jim and Kathy about that. We also have our junior and senior youth group. Our junior youth group is led by Scott and Anna Wright. Our senior youth group is led by Robert and Jess Pisker. And there's also helpers there for that department if you'd like to help in the youth group. Our junior group meets tonight on Tuesday nights. Our senior youth group meets Friday nights. And so you can consider that. Also, our parking attendants, led by Travis Gifford. If you would like to help out there, put on the fluorescent orange. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. Those guys are out there, and they're helping to park cars. They're not just parking attendants. They're also the first level of greeting that our church gives to people when they show up. It is essential. They are the first handshake. They are the first smile. It is absolutely essential that we have the right people out there. And so it is a very important ministry. Always could use good, faithful help. Parking attendants, you can sign up for that. Listen, there is no job too big or too small that we should do for Jesus. You know, sometimes we think, well, I want to do this because this seems more important than that over here. Listen, God doesn't take it that way. He doesn't take it that way, okay? We also have our reception and our sign-in led by Brigetta Hofer out there. We have a reception desk for both Wednesday and Sunday mornings. We have folks that help get their families with their children signed into our nursery and children's ministries. So if you're interested in working or helping with reception, you could sign up there. Also, something that we're going to be starting again this coming February is our ministry training center. Our MTC is going to be starting back up again in February. We graduated about 35 folks. We have about 15 to 20 individuals right now that are going to be returning to the school. And we have several more that have expressed their interest in starting to attend MTC. If you are somebody that would like to really further your Christian education because you want to be more excellent in serving, I mean, if you feel like there's something in your life that you want that extra boost or you need that extra time in the Word, MTC might be something for you. It's going to start in February. It is 3 hours every Monday night. There is three classes, and we do three 10-week trimesters during the year. So there is 30 weeks of instruction, 3 hours a week on Monday nights. It's a part-time Bible school. And if you're interested in attending, you will need to let myself or our office know about that. But also with MTC, we also have need for volunteers. We have a classroom that gets set up up there in the youth center before Monday nights, and we could use some help with that. There's probably, I don't know, 20 to 25 tables, each with a few chairs, you know, that needs to be set up every week. And so that could be done after a Sunday service. Maybe there's a couple of guys that could volunteer after Sunday service. You could go up to the youth center and set up those tables, set up those chairs. There's a small partition. Also, we have a backdrop that gets set up. You know, with a couple of guys can knock that out in probably a half an hour or less. So maybe you yourself won't be a student, but that's okay. But if you could still volunteer to help set up, that would be wonderful too. And I do want to mention it, though, if you are interested in being a student, it is a serious commitment. And there is a small tuition involved, all right? Tuition for this next two-year session is going to be $150 per trimester, okay? Because, oh, my goodness, well, that's only $15 per class, all right? And I don't know any other Bible schools that you would get that. Listen, you can't even go to Arby's for that anymore, all right? And it will include instruction from myself and Pastor Michael Laketic. And so you will get some top-notch education. But it's because it's not something that you just, it's not a social outlet. It is very serious. It is very studious. There is a lot of reading. How many of our grads do we have here? Raise your hand if you graduated the MTC. We have several of you here. They will all tell you the kind of work that it takes to be part of MTC. But you only join that because you feel that there is something else for you. And also, just because you attend MTC, you might even graduate. By the way, it is a two-year program. It is 2 years, 30 weeks per year, right, on Monday nights, three 10-week trimesters, 3 hours every Monday night. Okay, at the end of 2 years, let's say you graduate, that does not automatically mean that you're going to be given a church to pastor. That doesn't mean you're going to be given a department to lead. It just means that you have prepared yourself, you know, in a greater measure for whatever God may have for you, all right? But if you feel that that's something you could commit to, that's great. But even if you just want to volunteer for MTC, you're welcome, you know, to do that as well. So that is all that I have. It was almost an hour, 10 minutes over. All right. There is signups there in the back. So tonight, you know, our goal was just to reinforce how significant it is for us to serve. All right. Folks, you're doing an awesome job. And let's always keep our standards high. Let's always make sure that we maintain a high level of excellence, because there is such a draw and a push on churches today to go lax and go casual. We're not going to do that with our standards here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so if you're not serving and you want to sign up, that would be great. Praise the Lord. And just think, tonight we're not taking up an offering. Actually, just what we'll do is whatever offering you would give if we did take one up tonight, just give it to yourself and receive a blessing. I know, you're putting up with my corny jokes. Amen, amen. Well, let's all go ahead and let's stand to our feet. We'll just thank the Lord before we go. Folks, again, if I have not emphasized it tonight enough, let me just tell you, for all those that are serving and for all, you know, everyone that's here, how much you are appreciated. Thank you. I mean, the Lord will not forget it. I tell you what, I certainly appreciate it. I pray for you all the time that God's hand of promotion is upon you. You saw in the word that when you love the brethren, you abide in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling. It blesses your life. It blesses the house of God. Amen. Thank you. I mean, I don't know how to say it enough. I'm so honored to pastor this church. I just believe it's the best church in the whole wide world. And I get to be part of it. Amen. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Father, I thank you that your hand of blessing and promotion is upon these people, Father. As they have given of their time tonight, they have given of their service to the house of God week in, week out. Father, I pray that we would constantly at Family Church have a revelation of the local church. And Father, that these things that we do, they're an eternal effort. We are building an eternal memorial in heaven, fruit that will never fade away. And Lord, we treasure our serving here at this church. We treasure it. And Father, we prove so with our actions, with our being on time, being prepared, being submissive, giving our best. Father, we just love you and praise you. Father, I thank you that your hand is upon us. Father, I thank you that you surround these people with favor like a shield. Father, I thank you that they grow spiritually. They grow, they're renewed in their mind, transformed in their life. Father, they grow and prosper financially, materially, emotionally. Father, I just give you all the praise. Father, we give you all the glory. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you are doing at Family Church. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you, everybody.